So there's an account on X called Barchart that put out a chart, very useful chart, showing that the U.S. dollar, compared to other fiat currencies, has lost more than 10% of its value in just the last 12 months. And this chart, which is the U.S. dollar index, some people call it the Dixie. The Dixie is flashing red alert here. So the dollar is absolutely collapsing compared to other currencies around the world, which, you know, maybe Trump wants that in order to boost U.S. exports. But here's the thing. All fiat currencies are losing value rapidly compared to gold and silver. So in the basket of currencies, all of which are plummeting in actual purchasing power compared to metals, the dollar is losing even more than the other currencies. So the dollar is sort of double losing. And this is not going to end well. See, here at the same time that the dollar has lost 10% of its value versus other currencies, we're seeing extraordinary increases in the dollar value of gold and silver, but also extreme volatility. Now, something really bizarre happened in the silver market over the last 24 hours, something that none of us have ever witnessed before, not in our lifetimes. And I don't know if we're going to see this again, but silver opened up at about, I don't know, $107 or so in the U.S. market, and then it skyrocketed to $117. I mean, it went up almost 10% within a matter of several hours, and then it cratered. It cratered down to about 103. And that was at the close then of the U.S. market. And I mean, it looked like a mini crash. I mean, I've never seen it go from 117 to 103 or even percentage-wise that fast, except I don't even think in the aftermath of the 1980 Hunt brothers attempt to corner the silver market. And that's got nothing to do with what's happening today. So then in the overnight Asian markets, it opened up at the 103 or so and started skyrocketing with some very strange behavior. And it went over 110. It hit 111. And as I'm recording this, it's around 108. But in the Shanghai market, it's $124. So something extremely, dare I say, black swanish? Yeah, it's like the black swans are lining up. We're talking about the kind of events that we would normally never see in a lifetime that are happening now on a regular basis in the metals markets. And it's not clear to me. I've heard a lot of experts. I've talked to a lot of experts. We know who the players are. We know JP Morgan's got hundreds of millions of ounces of silver. We know China needs silver for industry. We know what's happening with the COMEX markets. We know roughly what's happening with the LBMA, etc. And India's demand for silver, silver mining. I mean, I've assessed the whole situation as best I can, at least from a big picture point of view. It's not clear to me which factions are driving this price action. I do believe that Trump and his administration are trying to destroy the city of London. And that's one of the things that's happening here. And I agree with that. I think that's one of the more noble causes that should be pursued in the world right now for the benefit of humankind. And Trump is pursuing that to his credit. But I don't think that Trump is damaging China in this process. Yes, China needs the silver, and they're having to pay a lot more for the silver, but China's manufacturing and industry provides a tremendous amount of value added to the silver. It's not like they're just buying and selling commodities. They're buying silver and using a tiny amount of it in other electronics or batteries or solar panels or medical equipment, etc., and adding tremendous value to the silver in the final product. So these sky-high silver prices don't destroy China. They will destroy a lot of Western banks that are still, for whatever reason, they're still holding a lot of silver shorts. Anybody still holding silver shorts is going to get destroyed. You know, like face ripped off level of financial destruction is coming for those banks or financial institutions that are still holding silver shorts. That is, if they're uncovered shorts. Now, I know that many institutions will have shorts and then they'll have long bets at the same time, you know, various strategies with options, and their net risk may be a lot less than just the short side, obviously. But I'm saying if they are net short, they're in trouble right now, because as far as I can tell, this is just going to keep on going. And then you've got this whole group of people, I talked about them yesterday, people who I think are kind of low IQ people who are selling every piece of silver they can find right now because they think this is the top of the silver market. That's probably a horrible decision. But because of that, the silver market is seizing up right now. The dealers don't want to take in any more physical silver right now. Too many people are trying to sell too much junk that's hard to manage. It all has to be refined, or a lot of it does, in order to turn it into something usable. So the silver dealers and retailers are not offering they're not offering spot. They're offering discounts below spot. But for a lot of people, they don't care. Maybe they bought silver when it was 18. They bought some random weird coins or something, some collector's coins. And then, you know, silver became $110. And if the dealer says, well, I'm only going to give you, you know, $85 for this, the person's like, yeah, I'll take it. That's still a huge gain. So a lot of that is happening right now. And actually, you know what? I'm sitting on some coins like that too, that I bought off of a veteran a few years ago who actually needed some cash. And he was wondering if I would buy his silver. So, and there were a bunch of veterans coins, you know? So I'm like, I remember I said, are you sure you want to part with your silver? Because, you know, I think silver is a good thing to hold on to. But he said, no, I need to travel and I need the cash and I can't take all this silver with me. So what am I going to do with it? It's like, you know, will you buy it from me? And I did. So I gave him cash and I'm still sitting on that silver. And now that silver is worth five times as much, or no, more than that. But, you know, that's how this works. So anyway, I've got coins like that too that really don't have any value over spot at all. Nobody's going to look at these coins and say, oh, that's a collector's edition. No, they're going to say, yeah, we don't even want that stuff right now because it's going to have to go to the refiner. And the refiners are backed up 4 months. Well, it depends on the refiner, but some of them are 4 months. So anyway, the whole silver market is seizing up. Now, the fact that the currency, the dollar, is collapsing, combined with the metals markets exploding, combined with the fact that it seems like President Trump is preparing to attack Iran, and with an understanding that the number one weapon that Iran could unleash is the forced closure of the Strait of Hormuz, although, just to be clear, some people don't think Iran would do that, but rather, I think Michael Yon, for example, told me that the U.S. Navy would close it, would, you know, mine it, and then blame Iran. That's a possibility. But if it happens, it means that a very significant portion of the world's energy supply is going to be cut off. That's going to be devastating for Europe in particular, but also a lot of other nations, and it's going to cause energy prices to absolutely skyrocket. So that could happen. It could happen very quickly. But other things could happen as well, such as the fact that Iran has been receiving a lot of weapon shipments from China and a lot of technical expertise from Russia. And Iran has stated that if they are attacked, this time they will not hold back. It won't be limited to a 12-day war. That this time they're going to unleash everything against America, against the U.S. Navy, against U.S. bases throughout the Persian Gulf region, and there are many bases there, including a very important command base there for naval forces. And Iran says it's going to destroy Israel. Now, Iran has gained a lot of missile technology since last summer, you know, acquired from either China or Russia, but also some level of domestic development. I think it's also very likely that Iran has a nuclear weapon mounted on a ballistic missile ready to go. And they have a new ballistic missile that has a range long enough to reach Washington, D.C. Iran, from their point of view, they would be crazy not to have nuclear weapons, actually, because, you know, constantly being attacked and by Israel and the United States, with people like Senator Flimsy Graham always trying to say we have to destroy Iran, overthrow the regime. And, you know, the CIA and Mossad ran all the recent protests and the instigations of violence, etc. Those were all foreign operations happening inside Iran. So all of this has everything to do with what's happening with the dollar, with metals, with oil and energy, and with the big picture financially, globally. If this war kicks off with Iran, and it really looks likely to happen within a few days, then it's going to send gold and silver skyrocketing. And all those people who just sold their silver to the retailers are going to wish that they had waited, or they're going to want it back. You know, can I have it back? Because it's going to go up significantly. And then energy prices are going to skyrocket. Gas pump prices will start moving up the very next day, even before the more expensive oil makes it through the supply chain. You know how the gas stations, they'll use any excuse to hike the price. You know, it's like, oh, war with Iran, they'll bump it up, you know, 20 cents or whatever. They'll do that. Of course they will. And then there's now the very real possibility that the United States military has vastly underestimated the response capabilities of Iran involving ballistic missiles that can strike U.S. naval vessels and either damage or sink them. Now, I do want to be clear. I understand that the United States military can unleash devastating damage onto Iran with a combination of cruise missiles and bombers and the whole assortment of everything that the U.S. can unleash, from aircraft carriers and ships in the region and stealth bombers that are probably parked on the Diego Garcia Island there in the Indian Ocean, right? So we're talking about a devastating initial wave of destruction on Iran. Many of Iran's cities will be burning, and the U.S. will probably, you know, slaughter Gaza style, maybe tens of thousands of Iranians in that first wave of attack. So I'm not trying to say the U.S. is incapable of attacking Iran. I think the U.S. is very capable of dishing out a lot of damage. But then Iran is going to retaliate. And Iran has underground bases, underground missile launch facilities, even underground airports or runways where they can launch planes out of that really can't be touched by any kind of surface bombing, anything short of nuclear weapons by the U.S. So Iran is going to be able to unleash a devastating response. And this response is probably, I mean, according to reports, Iran has, although the numbers are very, very sketchy, but Iran could have 100,000 missiles, let's say, of, you know, various sizes and with various ranges, etc. But many of those missiles, and they've got a whole class of missiles that is designed to optically target U.S. naval vessels by latching on to an infrared signature. And so they can't be confused by GPS jamming or typical electronic warfare measures. These missiles will probably hit U.S. naval vessels in the Indian Ocean or wherever they are, the Sea of Oman or the Persian Gulf area or wherever they happen to be. Probably U.S. naval vessels will be hit. If a U.S. aircraft carrier gets hit, and if the tarmac is sufficiently damaged, then it becomes useless and it has to withdraw from the area. If that happens, I predict that gold, silver, and oil are going to skyrocket again. Or if a U.S. aircraft carrier is sunk, which is unlikely, but it's within the realm of possibilities here. But if that were to happen, that would be, you know, a world-changing event that would not be pretty for the American people, because that right there would destroy faith in the U.S. currency and the ability of the U.S. military to project power. It would make Trump look like an idiot, and Hegseth would look like a fool, and the $1.5 trillion budget for the Pentagon would seem like a total waste into a giant black hole of fraud and corruption and technological incompetence. It's like, what, you can't even keep your ships floating, you know? So if there's a sinking of a U.S. aircraft carrier, also, remember, there's 5,000 U.S. sailors on board. Not all of them can swim, believe it or not. Not everybody in the Navy can swim. That's true. Because they're not Navy SEALs, okay? They're Navy, you know, cooks or you know, radar operators or whatever. Not all of them can swim, just to be clear. And a lot of them are not even good enough shape to swim if they had to. Now, they might float, but they can't swim. There's a difference. So there's going to be some level of severe casualties if a ship goes down like that. Could be thousands. And on top of that, the U.S. military bases in the region, the last time I checked the numbers, there were over 50,000 U.S. troops stationed at these bases all around the Persian Gulf. These bases, Iran has already promised to hit these bases if Iran is attacked by the United States, which seems imminent. If Iran hits those bases hard, you're looking at probably thousands of additional casualties of U.S. troops. And then, if that were to happen, then you're going to see mass protests across the United States. No longer protests against ICE. It's going to be protests against the war because thousands of soldiers are dead. You see, then everything changes dramatically. And then Trump would end up having to use his domestic police force, the military on the streets, to quell the citizen uprising against the war. And if you thought Kent State was bad, or if you thought the shooting of Alex Preddy in Minneapolis, if you thought that was bad, huh, that's nothing. We'll probably see U.S. military waging massacres of American citizens on the streets of major U.S. cities, probably killing hundreds or thousands of Americans domestically in addition to the deaths of the soldiers overseas, because Trump's not backing down. That's very clear. And most of MAGA completely agrees with Trump. Just kill them all, you know, shoot them all. That's what they say. Anybody who protests deserves to be shot. That's the new mantra of MAGA. So as you can see, this is not going to shape up to be a pretty situation. I mean, sorry to use the word pretty because of its resemblance to Alex Preddy. I didn't mean that on purpose. What I mean is it's not going to be a situation that anybody wants to witness. It's going to be a nightmare scenario of international warfare, international financial collapse of the dollar and Western currencies, spiking energy prices, and domestic revolt, all happening at the same time. All because Trump is taking orders from Netanyahu and Senator Lindsey Graham and others who have it out for Iran. They just want to bomb Iran. And they make up excuses for why. Oh, Iran treats its protesters horribly. That's why we have to bomb them. Well, seems like the U.S. treats protesters pretty horribly, too, because since they're shooting them. So Does that mean that Trump agrees that some other country has the right to bomb America because America shoots its own protesters? Right? So that's, I mean, it's just an excuse that Trump is using to attack Iran, which is really, that's an order coming from Netanyahu, who controls the entire Trump administration. That's very clear. And Iran is the last big target standing after, what, 6 out of 7 of the original targets have been destroyed or overthrown, from Syria to, you know, Libya and Iraq and so on. Remember, there were 7? Well, Iran is the 7th. And Iran, though, is probably where this whole thing stops, because I don't think that Iran can be easily defeated. Iran is a massively large country in terms of territory. It has, I think, 90 million people there. The people of Iran are fiercely loyal to their own culture, proud Persians, you could say. And even if they don't agree with their current government that's in power, and not all of them do, they would pull together if they were being collectively attacked by a foreign enemy. So in other words, if Trump were to attack Iran, he would only be making the existing government there stronger with more loyalty from its own citizens. And the Iranian people would band together, and they would endure hardship, and they would pull through. And frankly, unless Trump thinks he's going to put millions of troops on the ground, which is not possible, there's no way to defeat Iran just from bombing alone. It doesn't work. It just flat out doesn't work. You can bomb and bomb and bomb. They just keep coming back. Ask the dudes in Yemen. Trump bombed the smithereens out of the Yemenis, and they just rose right back up. We're back, you know? Then we're going to launch more missiles at you. They're back. You couldn't destroy Yemen. And Yemen's a fraction of the size of Iran. So I don't know how the U.S. thinks it's... Oh, and by the way, Yemen already destroyed some fighter jets off the aircraft carriers. We were told that, no, those aircraft, what were they, F-18 Hornets or something? We were told they rolled off the side of the aircraft carrier because the aircraft carrier had to turn sharply. And when it turned sharply, the airplane slid off the edge of the deck. Like, what are we, 5 years old here? These are cartoon explanations from the Pentagon. Oh, yeah, we had to turn the ship really sharply and then the planes rolled off. Like, do you think we're stupid? No, those planes were shot down by Yemen, by the Yemenis with the anti-aircraft missiles. Come on. I mean, of course, we're going to be told a bunch of made-up stories from the establishment because they can never admit that U.S. weapons don't always work very well. And sometimes our aircraft get shot out of the sky. We're always told, oh, it's a training mission mishap. And anytime a U.S. soldier dies overseas, we're told, oh, they died in a car crash driving to town or whatever. It's always a cover story. But I don't know how the Pentagon is going to cover up the deaths of thousands of soldiers or the sinking of an aircraft carrier. Or what happens if Russia gets involved here, which at this point, what do they have to lose? It's not like the U.S. could put more sanctions on Russia. Russia could just say, we're going to punch holes through your aircraft carrier with Oreshnik missiles. You know, like Mach 20 reentry vehicles moving at Mach 20 from low Earth orbit. Unstoppable. Punching 36 holes through an aircraft carrier, top to bottom, all the way through the hole into the ocean underneath. 36 holes, or let's say probably they wouldn't all hit, but you know, let's say 5 holes. 5 giant holes punched through an aircraft carrier. How's it going to do? Yeah, it's probably not going home. It's probably going to become, you know, it's probably going to be a tourist attraction for deep sea divers a few years later. hey, check out this thing used to be an American aircraft carrier that had 5,000 sailors and, you know, a couple thousand of them got out. The rest are still down there. That is within the realm of possibility of where this is headed. So don't be naive about the risk factors that are in play right now, or how easily things could go wrong, or how quickly the world could change, how quickly energy prices could skyrocket, even more than they have already, even though natural gas has skyrocketed, what, almost 100% because of this cold storm that's still in place. And yeah, it's freezing. I'm burning diesel heaters here. Keep my animals warm. It's freaking cold. And this is Texas, you know, shouldn't be this cold here. Fortunately, our power grid seems to be holding together right now. And that's to the credit of a lot of engineers in the power grid system. But things could change very quickly in the middle of world war. Things could change financially. They could change in terms of civil revolts, domestic unrest, and international problems, you name it. Bank failures, you know, U.S. military personnel coming home in body bags, if they could even find them, fish them out of the sea, you know. There are a lot of things that could go wrong from here, and Trump is just pushing the envelope at the behest of Netanyahu. Trump's pushing it. And in my assessment, I think Trump is overconfident. I think he is not well informed, because I think his advisors lie to him and tell him that the American military is unbeatable, and it isn't. And they tell him what he wants to hear. Oh, we're the best. We're the most powerful. Nobody can stop us. Look what we can do. And, you know, maybe that's true when you're extracting Maduro from Venezuela and there's only, you know, 30 or 40 guys in the way. That's not true when you're talking about a country of 90 million people. That's not true. So I think that Trump is going to run into a hard no from Iran. And then that's going to be joined by another hard no from Russia and China. And we're going to end up in world war. Trade war, kinetic war, every kind of war you could imagine at the same time. You know, countries selling off U.S. treasuries, dumping them on the market, crashing the U.S. treasury market, which is already happening in Japan, by the way, for different reasons. And then missiles taking out U.S. naval vessels, thousands of casualties of U.S. soldiers that are at these bases in the Middle East, probably being kept there as bait. Domestic chaos, uprising, U.S. troops shooting more Americans on the streets, massacres, blood running in the streets of Chicago and other cities. Yeah, this could all happen in 30 days. So be ready. Be ready. I mean, it could happen even faster than that. Frankly, it could happen. It could happen in just a matter of days, but we have to hope and pray that that's not the case. So make sure that you are prepared for the unexpected this year and that you're ready for anything. Lots of curveballs, lots of black swans, lots of horrific events coming our way. And unfortunately, our nation is currently run by a president who I think is overconfident in the ability of the military, who is dedicated to mass money printing and currency collapse, ultimately hyperinflation, etc., and deploying the military on the streets under martial law and the Insurrection Act. All of that's coming. And think about it too, when food gets so expensive that you start having food riots, then the question becomes, will MAGA support the military shooting starving Americans who are protesting because they can't afford to eat? And I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is that MAGA, that is the Trump-supporting MAGA group, they will absolutely support killing starving Americans because they'll say they're terrorists. They'll say that, you know, they're left-wing starving Americans, and thus they all had to be shot. So this is going to collapse very quickly into, you know, some kind of horrific, you know, dark history chapter of end of empire. And probably Donald Trump will go down in history as the most cruel and most failed president and most corrupt president in the history of this country is probably where this is going. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll turn it around and it'll be a new golden age. But I doubt it. The only thing that's golden right now is the people who are close to Trump. You know, the big tech deal makers, big pharma leaders, Trump's family members, all the, you know, the Howard Lutnicks of the world and Scott Bessent and, you know, Tether and all the people who are close to Trump, they're, it's a golden age for them. The American people themselves, they can't afford to eat. They can't afford rent. They're not going to be able to afford their power bills this month. They're growing increasingly desperate. And the clash of those two groups is probably coming, and it's going to be ugly. So be prepared, folks. Be prepared. Make sure that you sign up for the Marjorie Wildcraft Wartime Homefront Essential Skills free docuseries that begins this Saturday, by the way. That's at brightu.com. That's the word bright followed by the letter U, brightu.com. It's like Brighton University, basically shortened. Brightu.com. You can sign up there. You can watch the whole series for free beginning this Saturday, or you can purchase it for free and download it now and start watching it immediately. It teaches you how to get prepared for domestic warfare, which is coming. Your cities are going to burn, you know, and you're going to have some of your own food supply. Otherwise, you're going to starve the way this is going. All right, so be prepared, pray for peace, but prepare for bad times. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here of naturalnews.com and brightion.com. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.